Good evening. I am going to begin this evening with a poetry reading. Anyone ever been to a poetry reading before? That's what I figured. I haven't either. This is my first, and most definitely will probably be my last, too. But at least tonight I get to choose what I'm going to read and read it myself. So, what I have chosen is a literary masterpiece from a very well-known author. So sit back and enjoy and meditate on these penned lyrics or words put to paper. On the 15th of May, in the jungle of Newell, in the heat of the day, in the cool of the pool, he was splashing, enjoying the jungle's great joys, when Horton, the elephant, heard a small noise. So Horton stopped splashing. He looked toward the sound. "That's funny," thought Horton. "There's no one around." Then he heard it again, just a very faint yelp, as if some tiny person were calling for help. "I'll help you," said Horton, "but who are you? Where?" He looked and he looked. He could see nothing there but a small speck of dust blowing past through the air. "I say," murmured Horton, "I've never heard tell of a small speck of dust that was able to yell. So you know what I think? Why, I think that there must be someone on top of that small speck of dust. Some sort of a creature of very small size, too small to be seen by an elephant's eyes. Some poor little person who's shaking with fear that he'll blow in the pool. He has no way to steer. I'll just have to save him because, after all, a person's a person, no matter how small." By Dr. Theodore Seuss. If anyone would like to borrow that and finish the story, it is available. I have another article, or a portion of an article, I would like to read. This is by by Andy Ramos. And as I read it, see if you can kind of put the comparisons to the two stories. In 1990, the Voyager 1 spacecraft, having completed its mission, was about to leave our solar system. As it did, NASA scientists turned the spacecraft's camera and took one last photograph of Earth from a distance of about 3.7 billion miles. What the image revealed was startling. Dubbed the Pale Blue Dot by astronomer and astrophysicist Carl Sagan, this photograph shows Earth as a tiny dot, about one-tenth of a pixel in size, suspended in the vast emptiness of space. In its reflections on the photograph, Sagan wrote, "That's here, that's home, that's us. Own it, everyone you love, everyone you know, everyone you've heard of, every human being who ever was, lived out their lives on a mote of dust suspended in a sunbeam." You know, as I think of the story of Horton Hears a Who, for those of you who've never heard it, Horton goes on to save the Who's of Whoville that occupy the dust that's floating around. He is like their hero. You know, when I think of that, I kind of think of my own life. Greg, if you look at your own life, who would you compare it to? Horton or one of the Who's? And of course, my first reaction would be, of course, Horton. You know, I'm a big guy. Everybody loves me. I've got a beautiful wife and a lovely family. Got a good job. Pays pretty decent, I guess. Got a nice house. Cars to drive. Food to eat. Clothes to wear. Life is good. And I deserve all of that because, you know, I'm a good guy. But, you know, when I think of the other story, it kind of puts things a little more into perspective of reality. Of course, Horton Hears a Who is a fictitious story. But it does kind of compare to what we just read. You know, if you think about the universe, or let's think about the Earth. To us, the Earth's pretty big. And it's rotating on an axis. It revolves around the sun. It seems to avoid all these other planets, you know, in our solar system. But beyond our solar system, we're part of a galaxy that has billions of planets in it. And these scientists seem to think that beyond that, there's billions of other galaxies. So the universe is, I don't even have a word for it. But you know, the Earth is where it's at only by the grace of God. I mean, it literally is a speck of dust that if it goes a little more to the right, you know, we're going to burn up. If it goes a little more to the left, we're going to freeze. So Al Gore really doesn't understand what global warming is, and, you know, if you start thinking about this. But it really has made me think about how small I actually am. When you think of how big God is, we pretty much are nothing. I mean, we're billions of people living on a speck of dust. And we're only here by the grace of God. You know, as of late, I really have felt small. You know, and those of you who have children can relate to this in some form or fashion. When you have a child or children who are in pain, suffering, hurting, in anguish, trying to figure out why this is happening to me at this point in my life, and there's nothing you can do. There's not a thing that you can do. You know, you can support them and try to encourage them. The only ammunition we have is to pray for them. And you know, you pray and you pray and you pray. God, you're this big. You've got to be bigger than the creations that you made. Why don't you hear my prayers? And why don't you answer my prayers? You know, and I think we all, if we're honest, we probably have asked that before, because I know there's many of you in this room know exactly what I'm talking about, because you're experiencing the same things with family members. It may not be a sickness. It may be something more serious. It could be anything. But, you know, then you look into God's Word and you're kind of put the brakes on, you know. I look at Isaiah 55:8-9, and I'm going to enter my name here. Gregory, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. He's got the power to do anything. My goodness, if he can, you know, be the creator of all these miraculous, endless things out here above us that we can physically see, he can do anything. But the thing I've got to realize is, he's going to do it in his own time. You know? The Bible tells us that we're here today and gone tomorrow. We're just like a breath. You know, time is not really an issue to God. He will answer my prayers, and he will answer your prayers. You know, we are a creature of this awesome God, and he loves us, and he has displayed that, and we know that. He loves us so much that he sent his son from heaven to this little speck of dust and died on the cross for our sins. Which leads me to the question that we all have. It's probably the smallest question that I can think of. It's only three letters. And that is why. You know, why would he do that? I'm not the only one who's ever thought about this. I mean, it's all throughout the scripture. Of course, David, I look in Psalm chapter 8. I've got written beside this, who do you think you are? But verses 3 and 4 says, David says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him. If you flip over to 144, he says again, O Lord, what is man that you care for him? The son of man that you think of him. Man is like a breath. His days are like a fleeting shadow. That is a question I don't have an answer for, and I don't know if any of y'all actually do. We won't know the answer to why God would love us the way he does. We just know he does. And we may be small, but you know, we're not that small to God. He can tell each one of us how many hairs we have on the top of our heads. And he knows what we're feeling. He knows the future. He was the beginning and the end. He knows exactly how we feel. And he does hear our prayers and will answer our prayers. We won't know why he does, I don't think, until one day we do leave this little speck of dust and spend eternity with him. I'd like to close with a song or a hymn. It's one of my favorites that we sing on Sunday mornings in the worship service. I've always thought of this song as my question and answer song, because the author asks the questions that we all ask and gives an answer that we all know. We may not understand until one day. It's number 132, What Was It, Blessed God? And I'll just read the lyrics. What was it, blessed God, led thee to give thy son, to yield thy well-beloved for us by sin undone? 'Twas love unbounded led thee thus, to give thy well-beloved for us, to give thy well-beloved for us. What led thy son, O God, to leave thy throne on high, to shed his precious blood, to suffer and to die? 'Twas love unbounded, love to us, led him to die and suffer thus. Led him to die and suffer thus. What moved thee to impart thy son, thy spirit from above, therewith to fill our heart with heavenly peace and love? 'Twas love unbounded, love to us, moved thee to give thy spirit thus. Move thee to give thy spirit thus. What love to thee we owe, our God, for all thy grace. Our hearts may well o'erflow in everlasting praise. We join, O Lord, to praise thee thus, for all thy boundless love for us. For all thy boundless love for us. And may we give continually give God the thanks for his graciousness and his mercy to each one of us. And I'll go ahead and close. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for being the awesome God that you are. We can go out on a clear night when things are quiet and look up, and we can see what David saw and others before us. We can see how awesome you actually are with these creations of the universe that just goes on and on and on. And God, we know that you are all-powerful. We know that you hear our petitions, our prayers, and you can answer them, and you will. But you'll do it in your own time. Lord, may we learn from these experiences and apply them to our lives so that we can be good Christians, good spouses, good parents, good neighbors. May we go out and tell the good news to others so that they can learn how an awesome God as you are loves them and would die on the cross and bear their sin upon himself. Lord, may you go with us this evening. May we think on these things and just always keep in perspective our place, that we're here to worship you, to serve you, and to love you and others. In Jesus' name, amen.